Hello?
You have a collect call from Addis Ababa. Will you accept charges? The person calling you is...
Well, this is Hannah Lazar, and I'm on the phone with David from Bully to Harlem. Hi, David.
Hello. What's happening?
Well, go ahead and introduce yourself for our listeners. Tell us who's in the band and what instruments are played.
Well, okay. It's going to be like that, I see. Bully to Harlem. Well, let's see. Bully to Harlem is this record that I just produced. It's a concept record based around like a collaboration of really talented musicians and the vocal style of one Tigist Shabawaw, who is the younger sister of Gigi, a very famous Ethiopian singer, and a new Habesha MC named Maki. We were honored to have a bunch of people come through and play on the record, a bunch of Harlemites as well as a bunch of people who are just in and out of my Harlem studio. Just amazing Brazilian percussionist and vocalist. So I'm actually doing a similar record with right now, all based on northern Brazilian music from Bahia. This guy, Davi Vieira, came through. He plays percussion with Bebel Gilberto, Angela Kidju, Michelle and Gale Cello. He appears on Richard Bona's record. He also is a band member of Fahol in the Dark. So he came through and contributed to a song, which was fantastic. We had a really famous Ethiopian bass player come through, this guy named Hanok Temeskin. Just basically played on every seminal Ethiopian record from Gigi to... He's played on a lot of stuff.
Oh my God.
A lot of stuff. And let's see. My horn player, I say my, but it's everyone's horn player. Robert Aaron is this amazing guy who is literally... had the honor of playing on some like 900 records. He's an amazing multi-instrumentalist.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this guy is, if you've heard David Bowie's Let's Dance, you've heard Robert's horn. And it was really funny because this, just an insert about Robert, and it was sort of an insert about the whole record recording process. It was such an organic process from start to finish. And it was really, for me, a departure from doing anything even mildly industry-driven and doing just a record for the sake of making a record and making it pure and having an expression. And it was sort of like the manifesting record where literally, like, I would be working on a track the night before and we'd cut some vocals on it. And then, you know, I'd go to sleep that night thinking, you know, I could really use horns. It would be amazing on that song. And then, literally, like the next day, Robert calls me. Hey, man, what's up, man? I'm going to Ethiopia, man, and with Wyclef, because he plays with Wyclef.
Oh,
and he's
my
like,
gosh.
You got any contacts for me over there? I said, yeah. Here's your contacts, and go listen to this music, and then buy this music, and this music, and this music. And he goes for 2 days, and he comes back. He calls me, and he gets off the plane, like
oh
with his horn.
God.
He's like, I landed, man. Let's cut this shit. I'm like, word. And so, like, literally without asking, anything that sort of was perceived to be needed on the record sort of just manifested itself. It was really, really beautiful and strange and wonderful. So he came through. There's an amazing Mali, kora player from Mali, a griot named Bala Tunkara, who's played on a number of recordings of his own and also did some stuff for Putumayo. And he came through with this kora. He was a friend of a friend's, and we were hanging out. We sort of have a weekly gathering at my house of meeting of the minds, and he had come through on that. And because the studio is also the chill space, and that's what's great about it. It's just people come over, we chill, and ideas start forming, and then a mic isn't far at hand if you have an idea. And so Bala was like, my core is 2 blocks away. Should I get it? And we're like,
oh my
yes.
God.
And he graciously played, performed, and also sang on the record. And there's this amazing, you know, there's in Harlem, there's so many different elements musically that are still really happening, really fresh. And one of them, obviously, is gospel music. And there's an amazing friend of ours, this guy Jawarn Martin, who plays with Isaac Cale Walker and a lot of other gospel artists. And he came through and played on two songs, and especially like for Hoye Hoye, really helped lend the authentic gospel slant to it. And let's see, who else? My good friends, just round the way guys, Sam Efron played some reggae guitar on it, and a guy named Khalid Mazouz played, I did some Moroccan clapping. And it's a very specific clap if you're a Moroccan. It's a very specific tone to that clap and everything. And then another guy, Greg Fine, came through, is just amazing guitarist, plays with a woman named Kaisa, who's got a record out. Really amazing Cameroonian singer, I believe.
Jeez.
And, so it was just this wonderful, you know, collaboration. And a guy that I work with day to day named Steve Mack is just an amazing engineer and amazing mix engineer, and he, you know, as well lent his time and talents to make the record. And it all came together just sort of based around, wow, let's just make something that nobody else has heard, you know, let's try something different, and let's do it like that.
Jeez, you've surrounded yourself with some pretty amazing musicians.
Well, I've been really, really blessed. I mean, I've been in the industry like 15 years, and it's cool because when you meet people over having made records and made them money, sometimes it creates a different dynamic. And then, but you also get to you like have an even form to just sort of know each other and appreciate each other musically. And then that grows into something else, and then becomes not about money, and becomes about like art. And that's when it starts getting really exciting.
Yeah.
Sometimes without the gig first, it's hard to meet the person to establish the relationship. That's what I was sort of getting at. But it's been I've been really blessed, you know. And what else can I say?
Well, you know, Bully to Harlem is so special because you guys are mixing at least two genres of music, probably four or five, which I love when musicians are capable of doing that. And where this is special is that you mix traditional Ethiopian music with Harlem street sound, dub, and reggae. Can you tell us, you know, your listeners, more about your music and how it came to be this mixture?
Well, you know, the mixture came about from a couple things. One was a trip to Ethiopia. Two was the experience of living in Harlem, and three was sort of my personal just credo as a producer and sort of interest as a producer. I'll speak about them in reverse. I mean, you know, I was always more interested in being, you know, if I had to model myself off of anybody, it would be like a Quincy Jones, where here's this guy who can do a full, you know, a soundtrack, like amazing jazz soundtrack with, you know, big band arrangements and everything, and the same year produce this Michael Jackson record that is totally has its roots in Mano de Bongo, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just blew me away. I was like, wow, like that's cool. And then, and he sort of was not bound by genre, you know, or bound by what's the word I'm looking at? I guess it is genre, but you know, like labels, you know, mm-hmm. he can do whatever he wants. And I've had the luxury and the good graces to have like a hit, like a house music hit. And then, you know, people are like, oh, you're the house music guy, right? And I'm like, well, then I write, you know, the title track and produce the title track to Carole King's last record. And then it's like, oh, you're the AC guy? And then I'm like, and then I do this thing with the Bahaman. They're like, oh, you're the pop guy. And then I do an underground record. And they're like, you're the under. So that's
people
you
want
know.
To label you.
Well, for me, it's like music is the greatest thing about music is there's no boundary to learning. When you think you've learned everything in one genre, then you get experience to another genre, and you think you know funk and hip hop and everything like that, and then you hear Indian music for the first time, and it takes 40 years to be a tabla player, you know, and you're like,
yeah.
What? And for me, you know, I'm. As an instrumentalist, I'm first and foremost a drummer and percussionist, so it's always been about exploring the rhythms that really gets me hooked into some other shit. And then, you know, the experience of living here in Harlem is just still really musically potent. You know, I walk out to the street corner just to grab something, and, you know, you know, at my corner bodega, it's like the best Dominican salsa and merengue. And then across the street at the Ital juice place, it's like, you know, the best roots reggae, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, street vendors are playing Senegalese and Malian music and Islamic music. And then you've got gospel spilling out. And then you got the vendors selling hip hop. And if you take that in, if you take, you know, the sounds of walking around from one day in Harlem and sort of mash them in your skull. That's kind of like what I was, one of the things I was trying to do is like paint a portrait of what Harlem feels like sonically right now. And it's cool. I mean, there's still a lot of people very much in touch with their cultures and very much in touch with the music as a part of their culture here. And it's subtle. It's not like, you know, it's not like you go to this one place to experience it. It's just all over, and it's underneath the layers. And if you're here, you experience it, and it's really cool. And it was also just sort of the common listening experience of, you know, our community friends here in Harlem. And it's a truly New York City mix, you know, Abisha, African, European, Americans, and it's about our common listening experience. You know, we're trying and desiring to create something new and fresh and positive. And then also, you know, Ethiopian music is just, you know, this trip to Ethiopia. You know, my father lived in Addis Ababa from 1950 to 58. He started the first college there under Haile Selassie's higher education program. And, you know, I grew up with Ethiopian artifacts and Ethiopian instruments and, you know, kalimbas, like thumb pianos, people call them, from Gambela region. I was playing those when I was a kid. And I was just sort of experiencing a sort of side of the culture that gave me my, I guess you say, ethnocentricity. and I was just very much drawn to it. And when I finally got a chance to go, about 7 years, I went back for the first time. It's funny, I always say that went back for the first time, but when I went there for the first time, it was cool. You know, I had an amazing time. I experienced some amazing music, and then I experienced some music that wasn't amazing. And it sort of just challenged me to say, I'd really like to do an Amharic project, or a project in Amharic and an Ethiopian record, and I'd like to try something new. You know, I didn't set out to, like, rewrite the book on Ethiopian music or say, you know, all your other genres are crap, here's the new one. I just wanted to try something new. And it was sort of based on all three of those sort of things, and it was just... you know, I think the music industry, the business of it, is a really difficult thing. You know, it's a hit or miss thing, and I think the reason to make a record can't be because of that. It has to be because you're passionate about it, because it's not going to reflect to anybody else unless you're passionate about it. And that's the sort of that was the underlying impetus for this, man. It's just like I had these three, you know, sources pushing me and pulling me and saying, hey man, you've got to make this record, you don't have a choice, you know. So that was how it came about.
And for people who are not familiar with Ethiopia, Bole, Is that the main entrance point to Ethiopia?
Well, Bole is, it's a neighborhood in, Bole is basically like Harlem. It's Addis Ababa is the capital, like New York City would be. And then one of the neighborhoods of Addis Ababa is called Bole. And Bole consists of some high cost real estate where there's this, it's on Bole Road. And it's where all the cafes are, and behind it is some pretty upscale houses. But that's not what we were referring to. We were referring to, Bole is an interesting place because the airport is in Bole. And we were sort of thinking, you know, taking the music of Ethiopia on a trip, you know, getting it down the plane. And then also sort of Bole Road is where people from all walks of life come and meet and gather at the cafes and stuff. So it was kind of like, take that whole thing from what's happening there, get on a plane, come to Harlem, which is sort of our entry exit point for African music in the States, I think, and sort of, you know, allow that to happen. And that was sort of the idea, building the bridge between the two worlds.
You paint such a nice picture of the two cities. You make the listeners want to go and visit Ethiopia and go visit Heartland.
And I'm telling you, if anybody goes and visits Ethiopia, they'll be thanking themselves for making the trip. It's just an amazing place. It's an amazing culture, and me and my friends were referring to it. We're referring to it as like the hidden world or something. You know, you go there and it's like, wow, I didn't know. You have no idea the kinds of secrets and the kinds of just magic that's like in the air. I mean, it's really like going there is like breathing spiritual air. It's just an amazing place. And I mean, if you go there, you have to travel. You have to get out of the city. The city itself is pretty spectacular, but it's just an amazing place. And it's really about the people and the way that their culture is so strong and so pervasive. And you're always a consummate guest there. So I feel like I'm doing an ad for the Tourism Commission, but it's true. It's true. It really is an amazing place. Learn some Amharic before you go, and you'll really enjoy yourself.
In New York, and you guys were just recently written up in the New York Times. Has that changed anything for you guys?
It's kind of like Hometown Boy Done Good. Yeah, a lot of people read it, and a lot of people responded. There's been some curiosity buys on Amazon.com and on our website, www.bolidaharlem.com. That's Boli, the number 2, harlem.com. Sorry, I had to do a little plug there.
No, good.
People have been buying it off iTunes and buying it off of Amazon.com. We have... Our record is going to hit some limited stores in America on December 8th. We're very excited about that. And
so let's talk about that album. Is that more of what we've seen before or listened to before? Or is it something different?
It's the exact same record. It's Boli to Harlem Volume 1. There's such a great response, just musically to Volume 1, and especially it was just such a pleasure to make it with Maki and Tigist and the whole group of people that we definitely want to make a Volume 2. I've got a pretty crazy idea about Volume number 2, so it's kind of a surprise, so I can't even talk about it because I have to kill
them. We're excited.
Excellent. This is going to be the store release, because for a lot of people, and that's the thing about, when you do like something based on music and it's not based on a marketing campaign, it takes a while for it to react. It takes a while for it to spread through people because it's a word-of-mouth record. And it is a word-of-mouth record, so any people that have liked it, please use your word of mouth. It's cool. I mean, we would love to, be able to support the idea of and the financial realities of making a second record and paying musicians and stuff like that. And for us, that's really our goal. Our goal hasn't been to set out and make millions of dollars from it. I mean, of course, I guess if it caught on, we'd be happy. But that's not really the goal. It's like, and I think you feel it, and I think you feel those intentions when you listen to the music. There's something that goes beyond the translation. It's definitely not lost in translation. It's the intensity behind it, and that speaks volumes, I think.
Yeah, I saw your music video on YouTube, and I like how in the music video you guys are combining modern contemporary Ethiopia with a traditional Ethiopia and modern contemporary music of today from the United States with traditional. I mean, it's just a big melting pot, and that really comes through for people watching that.
Well, that's cool. I'm really glad you like that. I mean, that's such a great song. Insaralan Gojo, I think, is the one we're talking about, and the chorus is, Assalamu alaikum, yeharera konjo, tena yustenenji, insaralan gojo, which means, peace be with you, or greetings to you, beautiful woman from Harar. If luck is on our side, we can build a house.
Uh-huh.
But it means, what building a house means is a euphemism. This is where it gets lost in translation, means like we can build a life together and build a home full of children and everything like that. It's a beautiful sentiment. And it was sort of the idea of, Ethiopia is about 50% Muslim and about 50% Christian, and they've lived in peace and harmony for centuries. So, the concept was to to take that phrase "Assalamu alaikum" and use it in a totally different context than you see like General Abu Zaid getting up and going "Assalamu alaikum, troops." You know, like let's demilitarize that term. It can be a beautiful term between two lovers as well. And that was kind of the concept. And then it was sort of like the challenge was, how do you shoot a video about that and make it colorful and exciting? And all of a sudden we have these women in our video that are doing these dances in the traditional Islamic garb, and people, they see this video and they're like, oh my God, the girls are so beautiful. And I'm like, well, there's no short shorts. There's no titties hanging out. Like,
right.
You know, but still they respond to the beauty. And that's the beautiful part to me, is we didn't have to sell out anything that would offend any Islamic person, or and it totally stimulates non-Islamic people as well. I mean, so it's just like and it's like the traditional dress of Harar is just awesome. And that, I think there's just like one shot when it first comes in, the girls are wearing it, and you're like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And the place, this, you know, Harar itself is so beautiful. We had an amazing experience with this video director over there named Ida Ashenefe. Actually, she's a film director that sort of stooped to our level because she was a friend, and she was like, I'll shoot this video for you. And we literally jumped in a Land Rover with, like, you know, seven people and drove this treacherous drive from Addis Ababa about 8 hours and landed in Harar at night and literally stayed up 18 hours a day just shooting for 2 days and then left. And
oh my gosh.
And that's what we got. We had one camera and we had one setup and one crew, and you know, it was just fantastic. It was a great experience, and it was really cool, man.
Well, that's by watching the video, because I don't speak Amharic, I was able to realize that all of your songs seem to tell a story. And there's a story, but there's a powerful statement being said in all the songs, but yet it's fun and upbeat and very catchy. And like you said, the girls in that video, they're traditionally dressed, but they're sensual. And it's very respectful of women. And that's really cool. I really liked discovering that about your band.
Awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you know, as a lyrical directive, Maki and Tigist, our whole concept was to keep it really positive, keep it about the politics of people, not of the politics of nations. I mean, there's definitely some political turmoil going over in Ethiopia right now. And there's, you know, we all had differing and strong viewpoints about it. And there was almost a desire to sort of enter that into it. And then we said, well, what do the people really need? You know, forget about this governmental struggle, because it's going to sort of polarize itself. And it's hard. You know, sometimes you align yourself with a political party, a political thought, and through time, that political party changes, you know. We sort of made a conscious decision that what we should do is make a record for the people. And what do the people want to do? Well, they want to, you know, we wanted to break down walls. We wanted to sing a song in Arabic on the record, the Ya Salam. We wanted to take some common like song themes and sort of expand on them and change them and sort of unify people through that, and unify people through the party of music. And that was sort of the goal. And you know, Maki did such a great job on Ahmet Bal, for example, and this is a perfect example of like the way that we approach the record, which is, Ahmet Bal is about this, you know, it's basically celebrate. It's our celebrate good times, come on. It's that song. But it's, you know, in American, Ahmet Bal is the celebration, and he talks about all the things that, you know, you would do and that you do at holiday time, all the ways that you celebrate, all the traditional things that are done. The traditional drinks, the traditional dress, and everything in the first verse. And then the second verse, he flips the script and starts talking about, yeah, okay, now that I'm done with the family, I'm going to go out, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to party it up at the Gaslight, and there's this big club and, you know, this sort of chic club in Sheraton in Addis Ababa. And the way I'm going to get in is that I'm going to borrow a suit, and I'm going to borrow my uncle's Mercedes. And, you know, that's just what people do. you know, and they don't want to talk about it, you know, but it's like the antithesis of big pimping. It's just being real, you know, being real in your skin of like who we are. And it's like, you know, when we first went to Ethiopia, there was some big pimping, like West Coast hip hop stuff that just didn't seem to fit because it's not really part of their culture. Their culture is very communal and it's very, it's not me, 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 it's us, us, us. And, so, like, Maki just did an amazing job of that, and that song in particular, Amethal, is a great example of that.
Well, you know, some of your fans are curious about the VW bus with safari windows found on the cover and on your website. Is that your VW bus?
The VW bus came from, I had one growing up, and I was coming up with the concept of what I wanted my sort of label Sounds of the Mushroom, how I wanted it to look, and what it was about. It was about the journey of music. I have an idea to, I'm doing a record with Bala, actually, the choral player, in February called Mali, well, it's not going to be called Mali to Harlem, it's going to be called Bamako to Harlem. And the bus will reappear because the bus is the through line. It's just taking us on a trip around the world. That's sort of where it was from. A really good friend of mine, Echo Gordon, in Chicago, suggested the image, and he's like, hey man, remember that truck you guys used to have? And the thing is that what's crazy is that it's just sort of an image where we've all, every culture has had an experience with that. You know, in Brazil it was like the bus, in Ethiopia it was the Kumbi Vols, it was the truck, you know, the local buses, you know, basically, for so long. And pretty much, I think around the world, everybody had one, and everybody sort of has a positive, like, response to it. And that was sort of like, excuse me, how do you pick an image for this new kind of music and this new kind of thing? Well, I wanted to pick something that was sort of non-musical, but that gave us a feel for something positive, and that was it.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, who are some of your favorite musicians, both established and up and coming?
Who are some of my favorite musicians?
Mm-hmm. So maybe some established ones, and maybe up and coming musicians.
Up and coming. Wow, you totally caught me off guard there. I think, you know, my problem is this. As a musician and as a Libra, I don't have favorites. you know, in the same way that, like, I don't want to be classified for, you know, producing one genre of music. Uh-huh. I also can't claim to have a favorite player. I mean, what, you know, if we're talking about jazz, well, I mean, yeah, I love Louis Armstrong, but I also love, you know, Chick Corea, and I also love, it's you know, who are you talking about? I also love Sun Ra in Coltrane, and then it's like, and there's like, if you're comparing trumpet players, there's a Clifford Brown and Satchmo. How do you compare those two guys? You can't, you know, they're just two guys of a different thing. Up and coming guys. Really? Wow. Yeah, I'm totally caught off guard. I'm not the name guy. I really am. I'm incredibly dyslexic. So if you ask me to remember someone's name, I won't be able to do it. And I don't know. I guess it gives me some musical ability that I didn't have. But maybe that's what it is. But up and coming guys. Well, I mean, this Davy Vieira. This record I'm doing right now, which started out as Bahia to Harlem, and it's now just turned into Davy Vieira, the solo record, because he has such a strong artist imprint on this record. He's just unbelievable. His style of rapping, he's just the most amazing percussionist, and literally I've never heard a more percussive rapper. You know, flows are changing. It sounds like a drum solo. It's all in Portuguese, and... he's unbelievable. And as a writer, he's really, like, he's hit his stride, but there's also, like, a whole other side to Davi. We're even talking about working with some other Brazilian artists just to foster all these bossa nova songs he's written, for example. So let's see, who else?
I like your answer. I mean, it's just,
oh, cool.
You know, it's really... And I think our listeners like that too, you know, where...
Well, you know what it is? Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, even to sort of call out some people. There's two bands recently that definitely caught my attention. from all of our MySpace friends. One is called Debo Band. They're from Boston.
Uh-huh.
It's myspace.com/Debo Band, D-E-B-O Band. And they're like this crazy collection of Amharic, like, Ethiopian sounds, like, but they're like violin and sousaphone and sax, and they have a drummer, but they don't have like a bass player. I don't think they have a guitarist, and it's just like the coolest sound. There's also this group from, I think they're from Atlanta, called Tubab Crew. they're really interesting guys. That's K-R-E-W-E Crew. And they're sort of doing like, you know, music from Mali, really just acoustic, like jam stuff, instrumental jam stuff rather. And well, there's two really good records out that I like as well. There's a band called Zedekus, Ethiopian band out of D.C., and they've got like, they do like Amharic reggae, and it's really, really cool stuff, Ethiopian slanted reggae. And there's another band named Wadase. They're an amazing group out of Atlanta. They just released a record called Salam, and it's Ethio Jazz, and it's really, it's like, if you liked Broken Flowers, if you like Mulatu Astake, that's, if you take that and that's standard jazz, these guys are bebop to that. Does that make
sense? Cool.
And I really like the record. They've expanded some concepts, and it's just some great players, man, on this record, and that's it, man, yeah.
So if people are in the New York area, you and some friends do some local fun stuff in some restaurants, is that right?
Well, yeah, it's actually last night. Every Monday night is Moroccan night at my friend's French Moroccan Senegalese restaurant called L'Orange Bleu. And man, I've done like the Ethiopian tourism. I've done the New York restaurant scene. I'm like the commercial pimp. No, but it's a great night. And there's a Moroccan band that was playing last night. Really talented cats. And this really amazing, amazing Moroccan musician, like one of the most famous, this guy, Hassan Hakman, he came through and was just, grabbed the mic and was just inspired and just started singing. So it was like, holy crap, here's this, like, you know, basically our, you know, I don't know how to compare him here, but, you know, here's the George Michael of Morocco. See, that's a horrible comparison. I can't believe I said that. But here's the Justin Timberlake of Morocco, and he's up on the mic. And, you know, there's like 30 people there, but the music's happening, and everybody's, like, into it.
And it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, and the hookah pipes are boiling, and I'm beating on some drums. And, yeah, we're definitely bound to be there. L'Orange Bleu is just a great place. It's sort of like Annie Can Go's place. And leave a collection of drums there to beat on, and it's an excellent little retreat.
So your album is released on December 8th?
It's released in limited stores on December 8th. It's available now on iTunes worldwide, and it's also available on other download sites like eMusic, Napster, and some other sites.
And Amazon.
Check it out. Amazon.com, exactly. And, yeah, and, like, you know, we're selling our record for like the same price for the record as for the download. So it's sort of like, it's your choice whether you want the physical copy or the digital copy. I kind of like that. I think everybody's got to switch to that model. This whole $18.99 CD thing's got to go.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, I'm like, because I'm not going to buy an $18.99
CD. Before we end this interview, I have to mention someone from the past, a drum and bass guru, Duke Mushroom. Who is that?
I have no idea who Duke Mushroom is. No idea. Duke Mushroom was my moniker for a long time. I was doing some drum and bass records as Duke Mushroom. I did a couple house records as Duke Mushroom. I was doing sort of alternative electronic as Duke Mushroom, and it was a good name. Served me well. I did a lot of my engineer when I was I had a production company called Pop Rocks for many years, and I did a lot of the engineering work and a lot of the other kind of work as Duke Mushroom.
Will we see some drum and bass mixed in with Bole to Harlem?
You never know. It's a wacky world, man. Well, it's a wacky world, and wacky things happen.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Just how much I love Pirate Pods.
Oh, can you give Pirate Pods an R?
Pirate Pods, matey. I think you guys need I'm actually a distant cousin of Redbeard. I hate to say it, and I do have a red beard. So there you go.
Really?
I said it, and I'm not lying. I wish I was, but I'm not. It's one of those like weird family things that you start to pick up on, and then you're like, huh? I think you guys need like your own little mnemonic. You know what I'm saying?
Can you give
Pirate Pods! You know, something like that. So every time you hit the website, it just goes, Pirate Pods!
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
I like it.
Thank you.
Cool.
Well, thanks, right. David. Have fun with your Brazilian drummers that are coming into the studio as we speak.
Woo! It's going to be crazy. Bahia is definitely going to be in the house. Thank you so much, Hannah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Beautiful. Bye.
Come on, Mikey. Birabiro, birabiro, yelenuro, sabarero, matabira, bakambiro, yelior konjo, yelior lije, wishimaniza. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it.